This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
That's right. The Drive is live here in the building on a beautiful Friday. B. Scott's in the building. Clint is out. We'll all be back in here on Monday. T-Mill right there, as you can see, if you're on YouTube and Twitch. If not, you need to hit YouTube and Twitch and do your thing and hang out with us. You can message with the community there. As always, I see you, Kick Rocks. I see you, Rick. I see you, Pyro. I see you, Kennette. I see you out there. Brandon, I see you. Come on out and hang out with us as we are rolling through. There's a lot of places to go. We were absolutely taken by storm yesterday during the middle of the show when the news of the day, Micah Parsons, and we'll have to maybe touch some of that a little bit later now that we've had a little time to digest this and get our thoughts on this.
Yeah, I think I'm even still processing. I'd like to process it with you and the audience still. I think yesterday I thought more about the Cowboys. I'm kind of thinking more about even the Packers and the league overall and all of the different domino effects from that.
So, yeah, I'm still thinking about Jerry. I'm still, because Jerry spoke afterwards.
Yeah, well, Jerry, there was nothing surprising
Steven sitting there looked like, man, he is just lying.
Man, everything about it was so typical Jerry and predictable. I was like, oh yeah, this sounds about like Jerry.
Yeah,
this is it. If AI were to do the Jerry press conference, it would have sounded just like that.
A lot to get to, but I want to start here. You know, college football, it's been official. It started last night. I got to chill at the crib and, you know, doing some stuff and watch a little Cincinnati and Nebraska. Shout out to Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, who made their way out there. By the way, I mean, whenever Taylor was doing her thing back in the day with, who are some of the guys she's dated? Come on, Tyler, I know you know.
Oh man,
you got to.
She's got a list. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, Big Jake.
John Mayer.
John Mayer.
That's
John
right.
Mayer. He is a sneaky bastard.
Isn't he? Oh, his hit list is impressive.
Yeah. Didn't she get Justin? Did Justin Bieber get a run there?
I don't think.
Or
so.
Did I make that one up?
I don't think
I don't know
so.
About Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
But any of these guys that have been on her list. And every time she was doing all that dating, you know, I don't know, five years ago, you think she could have ever predicted that she would be sitting in Kansas City on a random Thursday, live and in color, drinking whatever she was drinking, watching Cincinnati and Nebraska?
I mean, what is Taylor now? 36,
35, 36? She's
35. Somewhere in that area?
Like, no, she didn't. No, there's no way she would spend that much time in Kansas City and watching Cincinnati and Nebraska.
Maybe not that specific scenario.
Tommy Frazier wasn't out
with
there.
With that specific cast and that specific location. But maybe settle down. Maybe somewhere calmer. Maybe doing a little bit less, but still doing her thing. Yeah, I could see a girl by the time she gets to her mid-30s, wanting to do something a little bit different than how she was doing it before. Now, Nebraska? No, probably not. Even as much time as she spends in Kansas City now.
Yeah,
I'm sure not. But life changes.
It changes.
That's how it works.
Sometimes you look back at it, you're like, what in the hell? Okay.
I'm pretty sure she didn't say. I mean, she make all that sad ass music. I'm pretty sure she didn't think she'd fall in love and stay in love either.
Yeah.
Someone it's all about in. Breakups and everything.
Someone texted in, let me throw up in my mouth watching Tay Tay there last night. Come on, man. That cracks me up. So many people just. Why does that make you so angry?
Yeah, I don't. There's nothing about it that makes me want to throw up in my mouth. I mean,
does it make you want to throw up in your mouth, Tyler? When you see her? Why
no,
does it make
of course not.
Yeah. So angry.
I'm not knee deep in her catalog or anything, but like,
I don't get.
She's
that
done
part.
Nothing really to me. This person texted,
"Oh Lord, here's the Taylor Swift mentions. Got to make the executives happy." Listen, I'm gonna tell you, ain't nobody told me.
What?
That's a lie. There ain't nobody been successful in telling me what the hell I ain't going
to do. If we want to be real, like if you want to complain about the Taylor Swift like fervor, like it's not our executives, it's your own people. It's the world. Like Taylor Swift is like just super popular. People are talking about her. The number one trending topic over the last several days ever since they got engaged. It ain't us. It ain't the executives. It's y'all.
That photo is the most liked photo in the history of social media.
Y'all did it. We didn't do it. I'm just telling you right now. Y'all did it.
I'm trying to think. 713-572-4610. If it is Taylor Swift, it is. What is the last thing that you see on the TV that makes you want to throw up in your mouth? I'm trying to think. Like, what is it that makes you throw up? I'll tell you what it is that makes me throw up. Speaking of this,
the disclaimers on medicine, like when they start telling you about all of the different things that could go wrong with you if you just go ahead and buy this product.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See sh.underdog.
What is wrong with you? How do you have a disclaimer at the ready? I'm going to tell you what makes me throw up. And it happened. I actually happened to be watching a game last night, and it is not Taylor.
Oh.
Hey, man. There needs to be a serious sports intervention with that kid, Dylan Rayola.
I think you're minimizing how serious it is by just calling it sports.
Bro.
Something beyond is going on here.
This dude is a weirdo.
Are we aware of Dylan? Dylan Rayola, by the way, whose father is an NFL player, was a center for years, played in Nebraska, and played in the NFL. If you don't know, he is the Nebraska quarterback. What's he been there? 2 years? Three years?
At least
2 years. And he's a talented kid. But he has been walking around basically in a Halloween costume of Patrick Mahomes for the last 2 years.
It's weird, man.
It is down to the T. And I thought, like, oh, it was a funny thing at first when he first came out and he got the Mahomes haircut and he would wear the Oakley shades and he would do it. No, man, he's running out of the tunnel like Patrick does. He's doing his mannerisms.
When I saw the two knee kicks, the high knee kicks in the end zone warming up for the game, I was freaking out, bro. That is weird, man.
Like somebody said, hey, man, you're taking this a little. It's 2 years.
Yeah, but the.
It is turning himself. It's like Field Yates, who is slowly turning himself into Mel Kiper Jr. but he's serious. He is slowly.
Field's got a long way to go to get that.
But he's trying to grow that hair.
But
like
the age
man.
Gap, he's got a long. To be fair, at least the age difference between these guys is close enough to where he actually kind of has made himself, because he's doing the impersonation, almost kind of made himself look like a.
Bro, it is like a great value
Patrick Mahomes. To me, it's weird because like we've seen lookalikes or we've seen guys like be trendy before. Like think about a decade ago when Odell Beckham comes out with the blonde hair, and all of a sudden we saw a bunch of dudes trying to be like Odell Beckham.
Yeah, but nobody went and got plastic surgery to make themselves look like Odell.
Yeah, I'm just saying you had copycats. But the thing is, that's different about this is like it's not like you got a bunch of different Patrick Mahomes copycats. Like usually, like there's a bunch of Elvis copycats, right? Elvis lookalikes. There's a bunch of Michael Jackson lookalikes. It's a trend. There were a bunch of Odell Beckham types that were trying to do their hair blonde and trying to look like him for a little while. But it was more of them. It's just this one dude that's so trying weird. To be Patrick
that's
Mahomes.
That's acting like it's October 31st.
That makes it really odd. This is not a trend. This is just like a thing that you decided to do. That's what makes it really.
And
weird.
He's come out and he said. He said the comparisons are out of his control. He can't help that God made him look like that.
Get the hell out of here.
Text line, Patrick needs to file a restraining order. It was weird because Patrick was on the field last night, and he was over there doing his imitation, and, like, there's no way he can't see it. Like, I bet Pat thought it was kind of funny at first, but, like, this ain't like a kid who's playing Little League. This is a...
Yeah, right. And that's a great example because you see the little kids out on the Little League field impersonating, you know. I had guys squatting down like Bagwell, doing all that kind of stuff. That's different. This is a grown man at this point, and he needs to find his own identity.
You can't tell
it's
me...
It's weird.
You can't tell me Dylan has not sat down and watched tape and studied his mannerisms. He's like... He's doing... Like when Mahomes does this...
Yes.
He wants the other play. He's doing that.
Let's be real about this, though. I think we know what's going on. Like, this impersonation thing is clearly 100% about attention.
Absolutely.
And how it, like, ties you to the Patrick Mahomes brand. Like, now, so you get to kind of latch on to the Patrick. I'm the Patrick Mahomes lookalike. Like, I'm looking right now. Dude's got 162,000 followers on Instagram. How many followers do you think he has on Instagram if he's just the Nebraska quarterback? Maybe 60,000, maybe 80,000.
I think
he has 160. A lot of it has to do with this is the guy that's acting like and trying to pretend to be Patrick Mahomes.
I gotta believe his dad Dominic is kind of like, hey man, won't you chill out, man?
Dad Dominic didn't grow up in the Instagram TikTok algorithm era, so. Hey, this is how the kids do it sometimes, man. Or at least now.
Text line coming through. I bet you if you go into dude's room, he's got pictures of Mahomes covering his walls. Oh, I bet
that's the only way it could get worse.
I bet he's got videotape of it. Like, he is so spot.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
On it is clear that he is watching.
It's a mirror
every
image.
Moment.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird. But that's the only way it could get worse, because it's already level 100 on weirdness. But walk into that dude's college dorm and he's got Mahomes posters everywhere, I'm out.
But you know what? It would actually make it would make more sense to me if he wasn't, you know, the Nebraska quarterback, if he didn't have his own aspirin. What if he actually turns out to be something or good?
Yeah, like, does he have to? Yeah, like, if he gets drafted, does he have to?
Do you keep this up?
Does he have to keep this up?
That's the weird part to me.
Like, Andy, is he playing Andy Kaufman?
Because if he's not serious, then playing Andy Kaufman is hilarious. Like, okay, this is his bit. He knows he's not going to be anything. And so this is going to be his way.
But he's got talent.
That's what I'm saying. That's the part that's weird to me. It's like, okay, wait a minute. Are you going to ever try to be your own dude at some point? Or are you just going to get in the league and
find yourself, fella?
It'd be like, the fake Patrick Mahomes for real.
Like, he met Andy Reid this week. when they were in Kansas City for the game, he met Andy Reid.
And
like,
Ruski-doo.
I don't think Andy looked at him like it was funny laughing. Like, I think Andy, I feel like Andy said, hey, man, let's, hey, like, I know Andy's a real ass dude. I have a sign in my office that says don't judge, but here, man, let's sit down and have a talk, man.
Which is funny, because we've seen
how did you get here?
We've seen Andy Reid impersonators, even from like they'll dress children up like Andy Reid.
But we don't have Stone a Street
exactly.
Stops.
There's not a coach that's like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna get my Andy Reid on. You know what I mean? There's not a coach in college just like, you know who I've always wanted to be? You know who my inspiration is?
Tyler, what
Andy Reid.
Tyler, what if
hey,
Mike
Elko could do it?
What if Mike Elko just
he could do it exactly. If he wanted,
what if
man?
Mike Elko just started to say, you know what? Damn this.
He's got the belly.
I'm going to start growing this stack.
Yes.
Or you know how Brian Kelly tried to do the accent for the LSU. He tried to do the Louisiana accent. But instead of that, he went with, you know, I'm trying to see if I can grow a red stash.
His head starts growing. Mike Elko all of a sudden comes
oh, that's
in,
good.
Talking
that's
about good. Cheeseburgers big time all the time.
Well, I took Moss. I took old Le'Veon Moss to get a burger the other day.
And he starts calling himself Big Maroon.
Does he then try to recruit Dylan, though? to really land a plane?
Or he goes further back. He tries to find a Donovan McNabb. Looking like, yeah, I'm the Eagles version of him. God, man, it is.
That's probably more likely. Good. You just go find a linebacker and be like, I'm see if I can make him a
it
quarterback.
Is, I'm serious. Like, weird, like it man. Was the first time was, that was interesting. Oh, that's funny. Man, that's crazy. He made himself, and you get it. Like, look, like, how long are you going to ride out with this? I think he's almost confused, and he may believe he is Patrick.
Hey, at the very least, his job right now is to make you believe that he believes that.
Human psychology is a crazy-ass thing. I've heard Wilder.
Coming up, the Astros, they were off, or they get a win yesterday, and they'll be back at it playing the Angels tonight. Now, overall, as we look here, they got a two-game lead. 713-572-4610. Those of you can jump in, and we'll discuss this on the other side. How do you feel about the top two pitchers on this staff? Getting closer to the playoffs, 28 games left. How do you feel today about your pair of aces? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Welcome home.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live right here on The Drive. 713-572-4610. You can jump in with us. The Astros, they're going to get back at it tonight at the Daikin as they will face the Angels. The Angels come to town, another team that is ready to go ahead and shut this thing down and get to the offseason and haven't been playing here as well as they were earlier in the season in the second half. They'll get ready for those fellas tonight. They hold a two-game lead in the West over the Mariners right now, as they are clinging to that. So you want to continue to get on this. Listen, I think the Astros will make the postseason. It would have to be a major collapse.
I'm going to say, thanks, man.
I'll see you in October.
Goodness, the postseason? These are the Astros you talking about, bruh.
I know. I just said that
seven times
to kind of set up the conversation piece that I want to get to. All right.
The postseason. You hear me?
I like it. Scott's feisty on a Friday.
You guys, the Astros.
I'm with you.
This must make the postseason.
This must be.
You mean that thing that's automatic in Houston?
Damn right, the Astros are going to make the postseason.
Y'all want it?
He said, let it out.
Let it out. You got to let that out.
Talk about the Astros here, man.
Conversation. Hey, man. That must be the juice that Nick Cayley comes in with every day, the way you just came firing off. That must be what they're saying. Man, look at this guy. It's this juice. But the reason why I say it would take a major collapse for them to get to the postseason, I think we can start to look ahead to how things will go in the postseason. And the biggest thing in the postseason that I've always watched is pitching, and especially starting pitching, and obviously the bullpen as well. But pitching is big, and I think the big advantage, potential advantage that the Astros have is they got a 1-2 punch at the top of their rotation that many teams aren't bringing. Detroit's got one. Skubal is maybe the best pitcher in baseball. Yeah,
but they got nothing close
to
him.
But after that, behind it, hey, baby, they got a three of spades. They maybe got a nine of spades. But I mean, they better be cutting early.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean in that conversation. So they don't have a lot behind them, right? And again, the Yankees are very similar.
Yeah.
You know, with Fried and not a lot behind. So, you know, they're pitching, that is a big advantage they have. But as I said to you on the other side, how are you feeling about the Aces right now? Framber had a strong performance against the Rockies his last time out. But his ERA jumped from 2.62 to 3.18 in the since July 28th, and he's got a 1-3 record in that time period. Hunter Brown has kind of stabled. His ERA has actually dropped from a 2.47 to a 2.37, 1-1 in that time frame. He had a little bit of a struggle there at the end of the break and coming out of the break, but he seemed to have settled down. Again, as I said, how do you feel about the top two guys? Because I think that is, with the exception of experience and been there, that is the biggest advantage I think the Astros have.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm even in a position. Like, let's just say I want to be optimistic about the Astros, right? And I gave you a hard time earlier to basically set up the fact that I don't feel great about the Astros right now. So I was trying to lead on to some good times.
You don't feel great. Do you feel great about this, though?
I feel good about the Aces, but that's
you do.
But okay. Here's the issue. It's the only thing I feel good about.
Text line coming through. How can you feel good about Framber? All right, I see that early. Go ahead.
And look, I think there are justifiable reasons to not feel good about either Framber or Hunter in the moment at the very least. But let's make no mistake about it. What you said, how you preface this thing is true. Like, they have to be right, and they are their advantage, I should say. The Astros' advantage is their pitching, or has been at least throughout the season, their pitching overall. And then I would say more specifically what you laid out, the fact that they got Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez at the top of it. My issue is that's the only thing that I really feel like that I have to lay my hat on.
With the whole team?
Well, I'm talking about in terms of consistency, the thing that you can have been able to rely on throughout the season, even at the times when they struggled. You know that you've got these two guys at the top of it. Everything else, and especially lately, in terms of the offense kind of being Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and mostly on the other side, on the wrong side of that, right? Like, they have not been a good offensive team.
Can we get a timeout real quick? And I want you to pick that up. Which one is the bad one? Do you know, Brandon Tyler, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde? Is Mr. Hyde the good one?
I think so.
Or is Jekyll the bad one? I know. Maybe
Hyde is the evil one.
So
Jekyll is his normal self.
Oh, so Hyde's the evil
one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're talking about the Hyde side.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I've never been certain about this.
I heard someone in sports recently screw it up, and
Dr.
I can't remember
Jekyll,
who.
Mr. Hyde, I've said it. I've never been real certain on which one, because Jekyll sounds like the meme.
I love that you asked the question, because I never even thought about it. I just knew that one was good and one was bad, and that was the point that I was trying to make.
But I want to know which one was good and which one was bad. Because when I hear Jekyll, Jekyll sounds mean. Yeah. Hyde sounds now Cheryl's frantically looking it up. I don't want you to get nervous or not. You're not believing yourself, Tyler. You're probably right. I just, when I hear Jekyll, That sounds like the a-hole.
Yeah.
But here, Hyde sounds nice.
The way to remember it is, it's phrased Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, right? He starts as Dr. Jekyll every day, but he can turn into Mr. Hyde.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense to go from good to bad instead of bad to good all of a sudden.
Yeah. You never know.
All of a sudden, this crazy person just kind of calmed down, and now everything's good.
By the way, to your point real quick, someone just said, chill, we got Jason Alexander.
That's right. I'm with that. And that's another thing. Like, I like Jason Alexander. I like their pitching overall, even in the times of, like, a little bit of calamity. Really? Like, I'm here with it. I'm here for it. But that's all. Like, I'm much more concerned about the other stuff than I am. Like, think about it. The other night, Hunter Brown's pitching. And, like, you can kind of parse through the Hunter Brown performances as much as you want. You know what you're getting from those guys for the most part. They at times are wasting the Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown starts, even when they are pitching well, because they're not doing the other things that they're supposed to be doing. So that's the thing that most bothers me about the Astros. Not those guys. One of the few redeeming qualities about the team, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it seems like what I'm getting, that most people are confident in Hunter Brown, but like this person said, Framber, when he goes off the rails, is the bad one.
And that's been Framber from the very, but you already know that.
He can at times fit the doctor, and you have been one that's been that's been harder on it too.
Now that we know which one it is, can
fit the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I do just think that people think he's more Hyde than he actually is.
Yeah, but because it's easier to kind of lean into it when you have the Hyde. It's easier to lean into that. It's like, man, I never know when this dude is going to go left. The presence of the Hyde itself makes you want to lean more into it.
But I think everybody's got some Hyde in them. Like, I mean,
but not like this. Not like this.
Everybody's got some Hyde. If you look like at what Framber has done over his career, it is no choice but to be more Jekyll.
Well, and I think that because of that, you've got no choice but to feel okay about having Framber. Because, I mean, let's be real. You ain't going to have him that much longer. He's one of the few redeeming qualities about this team.
They should do that. Whenever his last start is, if you look it up, whatever's going to be at the Daikin, standing ovation comes out.
Yeah.
There's no chance he's coming back.
Yeah. No. If I ask you, hey, what do you like about the Astros? First thing you're going to say, well, they got Framber and Hunter Brown. I mean, Yordan just got back.
Yeah.
That'd normally be it. But
I'd probably still say Yordan. Well, I think there are some who would say Altuve.
Oh, no. Absolutely.
Why
don't
do that, man? Don't say anything. Absolutely not. All right, coming up, the big story in the sports world right now. We and you have had some time to digest it. What's your feelings now about the entirety of the Dallas Cowboys, a.k.a. Jerry Jones, trading arguably the best player in NFL history when you take in impact, age, potential to ever be traded? We'll discuss that coming up next.
There it was. Glory hole.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line coming through. Did you just actually say the greatest player in football history? Are you out of your effing mind? No, I didn't say that. What I said was Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys traded arguably the greatest player when you look at potential and you look at age and production, potentially that is the greatest player ever traded in NFL history.
Yep.
At the point of where they are right now.
Traded at the time.
Yeah.
Obviously, there were greater players that were at some point traded in their career, but what Ron is saying, at the time that they were traded.
This is like the Texans trading J.J. Watt at 26. The Rams trading Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I mean,
26 or 27.
You know what I've seen that's been weird to me is because Micah has had some, let's say, some playoff no-shows, that people have just forgotten exactly who Micah Parsons is. Like, not everybody. But I have seen, like, a faction of Cowboys fans and just, like, general NFL fans that have kind of downplayed how special of a talent that Micah Parsons is, like, exactly who Micah Parsons is. Like, somehow his greatness for some people has been diminished, or, like, maybe this whole episode has made them forget exactly, like, what trajectory this guy is on. Yep. I mean, we're talking about at least two or three All-Pros already. I mean, it really one of the more unique players that you might ever find in the NFL. And when you talk about the combination of speed and strength, like he's stronger than somebody his size is supposed to be, but also quicker than somebody his size is supposed to be. He is a different type of player. Maybe people forget he was like a linebacker. He's linebacker size. They're like, you know what? This dude's so strong. He's such a menace. Let's just have him rush the passer. You know, like he could be an All-Pro at linebacker. So, yeah, I don't think people realize how different and how special of a player, or maybe some of us are forgetting how special of a player we're talking about, and then he's just 26.
Yep. 26 years old, three-time All-Pro, four-time Pro Bowler, has been in the top three of the Defensive Player of the Year award voting for three years in his career, in his 4 years in playing.
All you those guys do don't the money.
Get, those guys don't get traded.
And they don't get record-setting money. Yeah. Like, that's all you got to look
and,
at.
And they don't get traded.
And the criticism of Micah Parsons is a familiar one for a lot of great pass rushers, which Micah Parsons obviously is. And that's that you can run right at them and they sell out on the run and they're only chasing stats. Yeah, sometimes, look, I'm not excusing that, but sometimes that is the consequence of having a great pass rusher. They are selling out on their greatness, and sometimes they can be selfish. And I'm not saying that's not an issue, but that does not take away from the fact that they, when they are in fact special players, that they're special players. Like, this dude is an anomaly for the most part. I mean, he's an anomaly. He is a legitimate pass rusher in a linebacker's body. Like, I mean, it's just he's a different kind of player.
I mean, guys, this is not where it was meant to go. So I'm gonna stop. We don't have to.
It's odd. Because I've seen a lot of it. It's like, oh, he ain't that good anyway. I'm like, Micah Parsons?
At the text line.
Not good.
I'm going to disagree. John Elway is the greatest player ever traded. He was drafted number one. Again, that part right there. He wasn't the greatest player when he was drafted.
Yeah. I think the qualifier
Joe Montana, I believe, was traded.
Yeah,
those guys don't get traded. John Elway wasn't traded after he took the Broncos to the Super Bowl or started to show who he was.
I think the best comparison for this for me is actually Khalil Mack. Like Khalil Mack, what a lot of people have compared this
Tyreek
to.
Tyreek Hill would be in that range.
Yeah, it's
Matt Stafford. Yeah. I think he was a little older though at that point. But then,
on the back end, in retrospect, goes and wins a Super Bowl. It's hard to not think that maybe he was being underrated even at the time. You know, like maybe people didn't think he was as good as he actually was because he.
And that'll go right to this. That'll go right to this text. You're too high on Parsons. 1 sack in 4 playoff games.
Yeah, no, I get it.
He's James Harden of the NFL.
Okay.
I don't think I'm too high on the guy.
He's probably talking to me because I'm the one that kind of went on that little spiel about how great Parsons is. I get it.
But
are you going to tell? So you're telling me he's not good because he had a couple of bad games in the playoffs. So you don't want Micah Parsons. All right. Cool. I'll take Micah Parsons. You go ahead and go with whatever you got going on.
I'll just say.
Like, yeah, we say, hey, okay, look, we got to address some of these issues that we had in the playoffs. We got to get it better. But, like, he ain't all of a sudden ain't Micah Parsons.
It took year 7 before Chris Jones recorded a sack in the playoffs. it took year 7.
Yeah,
they were in the playoffs every year. It took year 7 for Chris Jones. Recorded a playoff sack.
Yeah, you can't play. You can't compare football playoffs to basketball playoffs, where they play series, and in football they play one game.
But we're here now. What's your takeaway now that you've had some time to think through? What's your takeaway now on that whole situation that's kind of taken over the sports world?
Yeah, I still feel like it is. To me, it feels like a self-sabotage, just more so because it didn't have to happen. I think the biggest takeaway is that the fact that it got there in the first place. Because once you get there, there are ways to justify this move. Like, it's already soured with Micah Parsons. Maybe it is a little rich for your blood. Maybe you don't want to pay him more than $45 million a year. And we see he's going to get 47. But we also get the conflicting reports about, Jerry even said in his press conference yesterday, we actually offered him more guarantees, earlier on when we talked way back in April or in March or whenever it was. So it's like, okay, so this did not have to get this far. And once it does, now you can justify, okay, well, let's rebuild our team. But it is odd to me that a team that has an 82-year-old owner, a quarterback making high dollar what Dak Prescott is making, what you just brought in George Pickens, you're paying CeeDee Lamb. Like, this is not a team that's just like in reset mode that's going to be able to just start over, be bad, and try to figure their way out and tank and everything. Like, that's not happening. So, like, you made your team, I think, worse for no real apparent reason. And you don't really look like a team that's in position to rebuild. So it's like, it's confusing to me that they would let it get this far.
Here was Jerry Jones in his 45-minute press conference that was, oh, Jerry. His 45-minute press conference talking about where the Cowboys can go without Micah Parsons.
Decided that it was in the best interest of our team to take the consideration that we have. We appreciate his 4 years. But we can take that consideration and we can win in our minds more than had we gone the other route and signed. That's not a negative on Micah. That's just unique to our circumstances.
Yeah,
he might actually believe that.
He really is trying to spin that that's what the plan was.
Do you think he believed that what he just said?
No.
Like, has he convinced himself of that lie?
Maybe.
Is what I'm saying. Okay.
Kenny Clark, the guy they got yesterday in the trade, good player. He practiced for the Packers yesterday. Had this been in the works and he was the guy that he wouldn't have practiced for the Packers yesterday. It just came about.
He mentioned that. Yeah, no, he talked around a lot. Like, it's like, man, Jerry, you could say a lot of this in half the amount of words, like, but that's what you get when you get an 80-something-year-old rich Southern man.
This is where it goes to me with the whole thing, and I've been thinking on this. And Houstonians that are Texans fans, just think about this. If Cal McNair is his time as the owner, Tyler and Brandon, won 3 championships and had a dynasty in any point of his tenure as the owner of the Texans. If Cal and Hannah won 3 championships, were a dynasty, were the team of a decade, if Cal was ever the executive of the year, was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, made the Texans the most valued franchise in all of the sports. In all of sports, not just in the United States, but in all of sports.
He'll bring in a whole new TV partner with the Fox deal.
If he had paid, let's say the Texans wanted to get a new stadium and Cal and Hannah paid 75% of that stadium out of their own money, what would have to happen for Cal McNair to be viewed like Nico Harrison? What would have to happen for Cal McNair to be viewed as somebody that is hated by the fan base?
But see, I don't.
What would have to, like? What would have to happen?
Viewed like Nico Harrison.
Well, it is. That's how they're looking at him.
No,
I'm just saying. It is insane to me what Jerry has accomplished. Jerry should be viewed as a legacy from Dallas fans, as a guy who has been beloved and a plus. But he's done like 3 or 4 really stupid things. Like, he couldn't get along with Jimmy Johnson, which they probably should have won far more Super Bowls. He couldn't get along with Jimmy because he wanted some of the credit. So he had to fire him and hire Barry Switzer. And now he's done this and other things. But if those list of accomplishments, I don't know what Cal McNair would have to do for him to be despised like it feels like some Dallas fans do.
Yeah, no, I think that Jerry's...
It's insane, his legacy.
Jerry's
is so
legacy
weird.
Is just simply much more complicated. Then I think certainly more than Kyle and Hannah's and definitely more than Nico Harrison's, like, because of everything that you laid out, because he does have the dynasty, because he is truly an innovative figure in NFL history. Whether you like him or not, you can't deny that part. That's why there is this Jerry Jones conundrum, because you can't pretend like there's no reason for him to have this hubris. There's no reason for him to believe in himself the way that he does, because he did at one point, albeit 30 years ago, he did at one point cash in on the checks, right? Or did actually do what he said he was going to do. Walk it like he talked it.
I'm so reminded of what you said about Lance yesterday. And you said, hey, man, he won a championship.
Yeah. So that's why I think it's not quite the same, because he actually does have the pelts on the wall. But that's the part of the frustration. I think it was complicated, too, is like it depends on how old you are. Because if you are exactly 30 years old, you don't know what we're talking about all of this Super Bowls and all this type of stuff, because that happened the year you were born or right before. So, like, if you're a younger Cowboys fan, the legacy ain't so complicated. Maybe it is like Nico Harrison. If you're 45, 55, you remember when, but the last 30 years have been really rough.
Someone texted, focus on what Jerry has done this century show. No, the hell with that. If Cal McNair...
He's 82.
If Cal McNair won 3 championships in this town, not to mention they had just come off 4 straight 12-win seasons off the last... If Cal had won 3 championships, like, it would have to take selling the damn team damn near to have the hatred.
Yeah. I don't believe in the erasure of the good times. Like, we can just – that's what makes it complicated. You just add the bad on top of the good. You don't take the good out. You just be like, man, we got a whole bunch of bad here. We don't not talk about it. We don't pretend like it didn't happen. But now, you don't pretend like the other stuff didn't happen.
Now, either. Weird stuff. Now he could trade, like, C.J. Stroud. Then they might be out of it. Yeah. But, I mean, but he wouldn't do that.
But he don't have 3. But he also don't have 3 Super Bowls to stand on.
No, he don't. You know? I'm just saying, so it, like, is just wild when you look at his accomplishments. How the hell did he win Executive of the Year in 2014?
I mean, he just got a Netflix doc. I mean, who does – what kind of loser gets a Netflix doc?
Coming up, I know many of you are going to make this decision before you even hear the argument. But we have a Texans kind of side we're on. You on Brandon's or you on my side? I'm certain many of you have made that decision already. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Y'all got to be ready to go, man.